Hello, everyone. We are back with this week's episode of the First in Tech podcast. I'm your host, sports editor Andrew Schnitker.
And I am your co-host here, Andrew Nick Sinopoli, the assistant sports editor of Technician. Boy, do we have a lot of good things to talk about, actually.
It seems like there is something we should be talking about for sure. Did some team here do something that they haven't done in a long time?
NC State actually won a game of pretty big significance. I mean, defeating Florida State this past weekend. I mean, that's incredible. I mean,
yeah, for sure. That is the signature win that head coach Dave Doran and this program have been chasing really since he arrived here. I mean, I was down in Florida State covering that one, and you could just see how much it meant to those players and this program. I mean, that ends a 10-game losing streak to the top 25. It is the first win over a top 25 school and Florida State since a win at Carter-Finley Stadium in 2012 with Mike Glennon at quarterback and Tom O'Brien at head coach.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, Andrew. I love to see them just finally break through. You mentioned this is a breakthrough game after, you know, just so many close losses under Dave Doran. And, you know, we sound like a broken record here, but you mentioned Clemson last year and Florida State last year and some crappy losses to Boston College and Miami. Also, the loss to ECU last year due to special teams. But this time around, special teams wasn't perfect, but it wasn't an issue. You know, Carson Wise drilling both of his field goal attempts. And yet you love to see that from him to get them on the board early. NC State was never behind in this game, starting with that 3-0 lead from that there's like 30-yard kick from Carson Wise. And to finally see special teams, at least in this contest, not be an issue is a bright spot and hopefully something we can look forward to in the future from NC State Wolfpack.
Yeah, definitely. This is definitely good. You're not sitting there talking about, oh, the Wolfpack played great. But, you know, just couldn't get it done, couldn't make the plays. They made the plays. It's kind of funny. We both talked about our big concerns on last week's episode. Mine was the kicking game. Carson Wise makes both his field goal attempts, and the Wolfpack wins by
two points. Two field goals. Yeah. Hey, I mean, it kind of seems like he's flipped the script on us here. But, yeah, you mentioned the concerns. Big thing, you know, we were talking about, of course, was the secondary. And it turned out Mike Stevens didn't play. I remember I was texting you during the game, like, hey, where the heck is he? And he warmed up, but I guess he wasn't good to go for Florida State. So that didn't necessarily pan out for him well. But secondary, kind of a bend but not break kind of scenario for them. They let two long passes get by him, but, you know, allowing Auden Tate for 118 yards, I believe, and he had an incredible day, but then NC State catches a break and he goes down with an unfortunate wrist injury. But yeah, I loved what I saw from NC State, and they made big plays when they needed to.
Yeah, definitely. And your concern, you know, talking more about the defense, your concern, I remember coming out of last week, was the defensive line and the pass rush not quite getting to where it needed to be. I dare say that concern is probably a bit alleviated by this one. I mean, Bradley Chubb, the senior defensive end for the Wolfpack, this is a player who could have gone to the NFL draft last year, probably could have been a second-round pick, came back here because he felt like there was unfinished business with this team and this group based on what they did last year, and had the game of his life in NC State's biggest win in 5 years. I mean, seven tackles, two sacks, forces a fumble. I mean, he just lived in that FSU backfield. It seemed like even every time James Blackman, who for a true freshman quarterback,
he performed
really
well,
had an impressive game, but it seemed like every time he even made a throw right after it, Bradley Chubb was there slamming him into the turf. I mean,
yeah, and if you were watching it at home, Bradley Chubb was getting in that kid's head. I remember it was one of the first drives of the game. Blackman kind of missed an easy check down pass to his running back, Akers, I believe, and I saw Chubb on the screen, and he just yanked the towel out of his back pocket for Blackman, just kind of like threw it on the ground. And, you know, while you know, people might say that, oh, that's just, you know, a silly thing for a player to do, just like goofing around, but as a true freshman, that definitely gets in your head, and you're wondering about, you know, where's Chubb here? Where is he doing this? And as soon as, I remember a couple plays, Blackman would get rid of the ball, Chubb would be right there just planting him into the ground. And you mentioned what I was talking about last week with my concern, the defensive lineman. There's only one thing I like better than an NC State victory, Andrew, and that's being right. And I was right about that. I mean, like, NC State needed their defensive line to show up. It was dormant the first 3 weeks, and they finally showed up. B.J. Hill, I believe, had a sack, and, you know, yeah, and I loved how they really got after the quarterback, and it was something that they needed to do. It was something NC State needed them to do, especially without Mike Stevens in the secondary, and you know, you've just got to hope that this is the start of something bigger to where NC State can get a lot more consistency of that highly touted defensive line.
I agree. And just one more point on Chubb and his big game. For everyone, and particularly those from Florida State, flipping out over Chubb spitting on the logo after the game, stop it. Should he have done it? No. Was it disrespectful? Yes. Did he apologize and own up to it the next day? Yes, he did. So for people to be doing things like putting just horrible, nasty comments, I saw a screenshot of some of them, on Chubb's personal Instagram, which you should never be doing on a player's personal account, no matter what they've done. Knock it off.
I think
not
it's
cool.
Pretty. I think it's pretty funny though that people are saying that NC State is the new U for Florida State, but that's pretty funny. But I don't think it was nearly as bad as people make it out to be. But I was really surprised that Bradley Chubb, you know, had a little something extra for the Florida State Seminoles after the game, but. Yeah, I mean, a lot of positives from this game, Andrew. Something else we were talking about last week is, you know, some keys to the game. And I forget what you were talking about, but one thing I remember that we discussed is the running game. And Nyheim Hines became the guy last week, I believe, to really shoulder the load in the running game. And he had 24 carries for almost 100 yards.
94 yards.
And while, you know, he didn't post an average of above 4 yards a carry, he still grinded for those yards. He was a hard guy to take down. And if you're looking for some kind of specific play that really sealed the victory for NC State, it was that 15 to 20 yard run he had at just near the end of the game to kind of get that first down and put NC State in the driver's seat just to run out the clock, get in victory formation. Because if he doesn't get that first down, if he doesn't pop it out on the outside right behind Tony Adams, for that first down, Florida State has another opportunity to get that ball with less than a minute left.
Yeah, I agree. He was huge in the fourth quarter. I mean, on that touchdown drive for Jalen Samuels that all but put the game away, he picked up over 40 yards rushing, and the ground game really had struggled going into the fourth quarter. The offense as a whole really had a nice game. Finley has another good game, 22 of 32, two touchdowns, and becoming a familiar line for him this year, no interceptions. He has gone 224 pass attempts without throwing a pick. That is the longest active streak in the FBS, and it's the fifth longest in ACC history.
Yeah, and, you know, It's easy to put that attribute that mark of Finley's streak without an interception to his, you know, short yardage throws. But you got to give credit where it's due. I mean, the guy, in my opinion, is someone that this offense really leans on. And you know, you could say Jalen Samuels because he's got seven touchdowns, but they're really feeding him the ball well. And Ryan Finley is just distributing the ball really well. You mentioned Jalen Samuels having a great day, a quiet, we like to mention, 12 catches for 64 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, you know, just another day at the office for him. But Finley, he's been incredible. And I think, honestly, he's really evolving into a pro-style quarterback. I think he is an underrated guy in the ACC. You know, when you're talking about Lamar Jackson and you know, the quarterbacks at Clemson, that he's really coming into his own. But you know, the wide receivers did great. I mean, Jacoby Myers, let's talk a little bit about him. I mean, how incredible has he been after making the switch to from quarterback?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. The week before in the game against Furman, he did not start, did not play because the coaches were not happy with his preparation and practice going into that game. So he kind of sat out in the coach's doghouse, and he comes back this week. They put him back in, responds with a monster game, first 100-yard game of receiving of his career, gets that 70-yard touchdown in the second quarter, in which, in the process of scoring that touchdown, he ends it with the flip in which he sticks the landing, which, I'm sorry, that shouldn't be a penalty. That was just awesome. But He in the process of the score at midfield, he jukes out Derwin James of Florida State. That's a first-round NFL safety, right?
He's probably a top 10 pick in next year's draft. That guy had an incredible day, and I was really surprised that Myers really just put him in a spin cycle right there, just juking him out, you know, taking it to the house. But I mean, offense played great. You know, defense still had some holes in the secondary. But I think we should transition now to the Seminoles and, you know, really talk about James Blackman, because he looked better than I thought he would, to be honest.
Yeah, he did. And really, I thought he was really good at making those big throws as he was getting clobbered.
Oh, clobbered for sure.
Yeah, and I really just think that this really is a good team that NC State handled. And for more analysis on this big win and what it means for the program going forward, I think it's about time to go to our guest today. We've got a good guest for you guys this week. We've got Corey Smith, current managing editor of Pack Pride and a technician alum, so we will bring him in momentarily. And guys, we are here with our guest for this week, Pack Pride managing editor and technician alum, Corey Smith. Corey, how are you doing today?
Doing good, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing good. It's good to have you in here.
Yeah, how was the drive back from Tallahassee the other day?
You know, it wasn't terrible. There were three of us splitting it up, but I'm sure you guys both are aware the drive back from any trip sucks because you just want to be back. When you're going there, you're kind of excited. You're going to do something. Coming back, it's like, all right, just got to do this.
That's with literally anything, but I guess with the fact that they did come away with a win, I'm sure it was a little more pleasant kind of going back, like being able to discuss a win as opposed to talking about a loss.
Yeah, well, I think you remember our car ride back to our lodgings after the South Carolina game in Charlotte. This one was a little more upbeat than that one.
Yeah, there are a few choice words in there that we can't go over right now, huh?
Yeah, this is a family-friendly podcast, so we'll keep those off the air here. But just your takeaways from the big win over Florida State.
I mean, honestly, if you want to talk about takeaways, I know we had discussed this beforehand, but saying, you know, the Florida State win, maybe a little bit of luster's taken off of it because of James Blackman being the starter as opposed to, you know, a potential Heisman candidate and DeAndre Francois. But you look at the win, I mean, Doran brought this up a lot over the last few days, and the fact that 87% of teams that go in there, regardless of who the quarterback is, regardless of who the cast is, you know, it might not be the greatest team in the world, but 87% of teams that go in there come away with an L. And all seven of Jimbo Fisher's teams have all started off with a home opening win. Granted, none of those were ACC opponents, none of those were big-name opponents, but this is the first time in his entire career at Florida State that they've taken a loss. So my takeaway is the fact that regardless of who is the quarterback under center, the way that Bradley Chubb performed, you have to be able to get to the quarterback in order to be able to take him down. Maybe Francois would have been a little bit more elusive, but you look at the fact that he was able to get back there. You have to do it against that offensive line. You look at the fact that Carson Wise has to kick those field goals. It doesn't matter where you're at. If Carson Wise doesn't make those field goals, you don't come away with a 6-point win. So I come away with the fact that this team looks a little bit more complete than they did against South Carolina in the season opener. So those two games in between, they've learned, they've developed, and now they come away with a signature win.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dave Doran finally getting that signature win on his resume. And I could tell after the game during the press conference, he was really playing on the emotions. I mean, saying like, you know, the reason I came to coach is to bring these guys their dreams, to make dreams come true. And he definitely did that this past weekend, you know, defeating the number 12 team in the country at the time, Florida State. And Doran came into NC State at 2013 and not a great season, but he's recruited all these guys, and all the guys he started out here in his tenure, they're all seniors now.
Yeah.
And it kind of seems that everything's coming full circle, and that, you know, it's a team that is finally living up to the expectations, per se. But with Dave Doran and this marquee win at Florida State, what does this mean moving forward for this program with such a great win finally under Dave Doran?
Yeah, I mean, Dave kind of said this in his press conference this morning, where he said, look, you know, for years that I've been here, we've been talking about, all right, you know, we're getting this close. Now he has something to actually point to and say, this is what happens when we fight in those fourth quarters. This is what happens when we work our tails off. We'll say tails. We work our tails off for these types of wins. these type of payoff moments can happen here. We can have these signature wins. We can have these top 25 wins. You can say UNC last year was a big win. It was only a big win because, first of all, it's UNC. Second of all, it got you into bowl game. UNC wasn't that great last year. They had a lot of great players, but they didn't really put it all together. Last year, maybe the Notre Dame win, but Notre Dame wasn't a great team. It was in the middle of a hurricane. So you finally got that one where it's like, all right, this was that big win. This, you went into Tallahassee. I mean, there's always going to be takeaways that, look, you know, hey, they had James Blackman. It wasn't a great win because they didn't have their regular quarterback. Well, guess what? NC State didn't have Mike Stevens. They didn't have Dexter Wright. So you're losing two key pieces in your secondary. Regardless of who the quarterback is, you should be able to pick them apart. But they developed. They ended up having the players they wanted to have in this program, and they put together this type of win. It means a lot moving forward for this program because, like I said, they can go back and say, this is what you can work towards.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, that now that it's not those, you know, those moral victories you take away from the games against like Clemson and Florida State last year. They finally got something tangible for their effort and going in and fighting toe-to-toe with a top team like this. And I want to ask, you've obviously been covering State for a while, longer than we have anyway. Yeah. What's the last like big win before this one, the biggest one before this that you remember?
Well, like I said, you know, if you want to consider UNC last year a big win, that was a big win just because of those reasons. But if we're actually going over huge wins in that sense, I mean, you have to go back to 2012 before Dave Doran ever really got here. That, you know, that Florida State win that they had in 2012 at home, that was huge. You know, the team that they had there underperformed, and that's the reason why Tom O'Brien was gone. But that one win, I mean, the reaction that you had afterwards, the way that they won it in the last seconds with Mike Glennon throwing that touchdown pass, and then in 2010 before that with Nate Irvin getting the ball on the last possession for Florida State. I mean, those two wins right there were, you know, looking back, Florida State was probably the biggest last three wins that this program has had. There were probably a few peppered in there, but as far as big wins, signature wins, overranked teams, those have been the ones for NC State.
Yeah, and those two wins definitely come to my mind. I mean, I think NC State is becoming a thorn in the side for the Seminoles. You know,
they have been for a little while. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they have been for a little while. And we mentioned earlier, Doran ending that 10-game losing streak against top 25 opponents. And while Florida State was number 12 on Saturday, they are unranked this week, dropping from the AP poll. A little surprising for me. I figured they'd be up in the 20s at least. You know, I thought they would squeak in to the top 25, but becoming 0-2 in their first two games of the season, despite the two games rescheduled due to Hurricane Irma, is something to look at. But you know, we talked a little bit about it, saying, you know, this is still a game NC State can look back to and say, look what we did. But looking at this game, you know, do we need to see anything from NC State necessarily change, you know, to improve on? Or should we really look at this Florida State game and say that's still a quality win, even though you're looking at the players that weren't there for Florida State? Of course, DeAndre Francois, Auden Tate going out. How much should NC State fans look to this win and use it as a measuring stick for how NC State should perform the rest of the season?
Well, if you're using it as a measuring stick, I mean, honestly, to me, I mean, I put this up on Pack Pride the other day as far as my story was concerned, you know, sort of a recap, and saying that, you know, look, this team kind of put it all together on Saturday. I mean, you know, we hadn't really necessarily seen it against South Carolina. You know, special teams breakdowns. Offensively, they look great against South Carolina, but then the defense kind of let them down in the sense that, look, you know, I mean, Debo Samuel had a huge game, two receiving touchdowns in that game and one return touchdown. And then you look at Marshall, they give up like I can't even remember the number. I think it was 248 receiving yards to Tyree Brady of Marshall. And nobody sees that coming. And then you look at, you know, this last game against Furman beforehand, and you had the few big plays with the 71-yard touchdown by the tight end, and all those are his little breakdowns against a triple option offense. So this was the complete package from NC State. This was, look, you know, Bradley Chubb disrupting James Blackman in the backfield. You know, we didn't see a lot of breakdowns from the secondary that we saw in those first three, you know, two or three games. And we didn't see Carson Wise missing field goals. He was 1-for-3 before this game and finished 2-for-2 in this one. You know, not necessarily pressure, high-pressure situations. Both of his field goals were within 30 yards, but you look at it and you say, all right, this team kind of has it all together now. So as far as a measuring stick, I don't know exactly, you know, there weren't any real big breakdowns to me that I say, all right, you know, there has to be something that changes as far as this is concerned. But, you know, it just looked like a stable game from this team all the way around. And honestly, moving forward, you know, a stable game is going to win you games against potentially Louisville or Clemson. And if you have two of those wins on this schedule, I mean, that's huge for this team moving forward.
I want to talk a little bit more about the top 25. NC State at number 26.
26
in the AP poll.
5 votes off, yeah.
LSU at 25. Not 100% sure I agree with that given their past couple performances. Is this an NC State team that should be in the top 25 after that win? And can we expect to see them there going forward if they can continue to build on this?
I don't know if they're necessarily in the top 25 right now. I think you win against Syracuse, or you win, honestly, I mean, if you win convincingly, you win by double digits against Syracuse. You know, it's still going to take potentially a slip up by another team to get there. But out of the top, you know, 10 teams in the top 25 they have, or the back 10 teams, which is kind of what you're looking at for NC State, you know, those 15 through 25, if one of those has a slip up and NC State wins convincingly, I think they do jump into the top 25 in the AP poll. But I think with a win against Florida State, I think if you have a win against South Carolina, regardless of how the win comes, I think they're automatically in the top 25 at this point. But I think if you do win against a Syracuse, I think they go into the Louisville game as two top 25 opponents on Thursday night, which is exactly what ESPN wanted. Now, ESPN might be playing it up because they are at number 21 in the ESPN polls and say, all right, well, they win against Syracuse. We've definitely got two top 25 teams playing on ESPN, but I think as far as the AP poll is concerned, they do have to win pretty convincingly against Syracuse, against a team that, you know, look, is 2-2 coming in, regardless of what we're going to talk about with Eric Dungy and Ishmael. You know, the fact that this team comes away with that win, if they do win against Syracuse, they're going to make it into that top 25.
You briefly mentioned Syracuse. Yeah, they just played LSU last week, the team in yep. right above NC State and the rankings. Only lost to the Tigers by 9 points. But before we jump to Syracuse, just a quick thought on Chubb's performance. I mean, in my opinion, I thought this was a game where NC State's defensive line really needed to come alive. It didn't in the first three games, and especially looking at the South Carolina game, the defensive line didn't really show up till the fourth quarter. But NC State, once again, only allowing 11 points over the first four games in the fourth quarter. An incredible closing minutes right there for NC State. But for Bradley Chubb, what does that do for him in terms of looking to the future for his NFL draft stock? While it was against a shaky Florida State line, I thought he had a career day.
Yeah, I mean, I put this in my article over the weekend too, that Bradley Chubb made himself some money this past weekend. You know, he was already looked at as a potential first rounder in the draft, but the way that he's been performing over the last several weeks, I mean, at this point he's at 7.5 tackles for loss, I believe, 3.5 sacks, and you get two of them in both categories against Florida State. He comes away with that crucial forced fumble. I mean, you know, we're going to look back on the game and say, oh, well, the two sacks and the two tackles for loss are huge, but that fumble comes on a drive where Florida State is driving the ball down the field, and James Blackman, if I'm not mistaken, I believe had already rushed past the first down marker on that play and is at the 25-yard line. So if he doesn't force that fumble, regardless of what comes after it, you know, as far as Florida or NC State being able to cash in, you know, that basically saves you at least 3 points for Florida State and keeps you a 10-7 lead. So that was a huge play. And in terms of what it means for his future, yeah, I mean, like I said, Bradley Chubb made himself some money on Saturday because of the way that he performs. It is, you know, hey, it's a noon game, but I mean, scouts are watching these noon games. Scouts are watching a game on ABC, on ESPN2, regardless of where it's being played. So looking at what he ended up putting together on that national stage, it's huge. And I think, honestly, if NC State keeps winning these games, you've obviously, like I said, got Louisville on Thursday night next week. But moving forward, this team might end up getting some of those primetime games. They might end up getting some of those, you know, just a 4 o'clock game in the sense of, or a 3 o'clock game in the sense of, hey, we can be able to kind of play in front of a little bit more of an audience on those games. I think it's huge for him, and I think it's huge for the team in terms of what can happen moving forward, because they do have that star power now with him and Finley and a few other guys.
Finley, and I hear that Jalen Samuels guy is pretty
good as
well.
Yeah, he's pretty decent. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I left him off the list of potential stars there exactly, but yeah, J. Sam's huge as well.
This is not a podcast where snubbing J. Sam is ever acceptable. I know it's Monday and we're all still got research to do, but your 2 cents on Syracuse going into this week's game.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a lot about, I talked a lot about Eric Dungy over the past week as well, and honestly, you know, Doran was glowing about him this morning or this afternoon as well. So, looking at what he was able to do, it was huge, and what he's going to be able to do against NC State because of the fact that, look, the weak league still at this point, if Mike Stevens and Dexter Wright aren't able to play this coming up weekend, is that secondary. So you've got a little bit more experience, and I say that, you know, jokingly with a lot of sarcasm there, than James Blackman had this past Saturday. And Eric Dungy has been able to, he's currently leading Syracuse in rushing yards with 233. He leads them with rushing touchdowns with 5. He's their leading passer, and he ranks, I believe, top 5 in the ACC in terms of completion percentage as well. So he's got a lot going on there. And as we mentioned, their wide receiving core kind of relies on one guy who has over 100 yards every single game at this point. So the biggest thing here for NC State is going to be able to, once again, get to the quarterback and limit what he does. And it's going to be a lot on that secondary to just at least limit the big plays that they have. Because if you let off a big play, it changes the momentum for just about anything that NC State's planning on doing. And we saw that against Florida State with Jacoby Myers' big play. That completely turned the tide for NC State and changed what they were doing. So against Syracuse, like I said, I think that one of the biggest keys is going to be limiting them in the secondary and really trying to get into that backfield as well.
Yeah, I definitely think that secondary will continue to be a watch point. Well, that's I think that's about all we've got, Corey. Thank you for your time and joining us on the show today.
Really appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you. Well, Nick, that was great. It's always great to have fellow local media members and especially NC State and Technician alums on the podcast here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Corey knows obviously what he's talking about. The guy has a wide breadth of knowledge, and especially with NC State football. I loved his input. Thought it was great. I just can't wait to get started talking about this upcoming game we've got this weekend.
Yeah, I believe you've done a little scouting work on Syracuse for us today, Nick. Why don't you start into that?
Yeah, Syracuse Orange coming in to this Saturday's matchup against the NC State Wolfpack, 2-2 and fourth in the ACC Atlantic. This will be their ACC opener. This will be their second road game of the season. They just lost to number 25 LSU in Baton Rouge, 35-26. But don't take that score lightly. The Orange were down 28-10 with 5 minutes left in the third. But Syracuse made some good defensive plays, got a safety. Ended up getting 2 touchdowns, and they pulled within 2 of the Tigers with just over 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. But LSU, like NC State against Florida State, found a way to close out the win, and LSU scores a touchdown with just under 2 minutes remaining to all but seal the win. And Syracuse, I think in this matchup, it's kind of looked at as a trap game for NC State. You know, once you come off of a big game, whether it's a moral victory like we saw last year against Clemson and then getting absolutely demolished in Louisville by the eventual Heisman winner Lamar Jackson, I think this does kind of have trap game written all over it, because while Syracuse isn't looking hot right now, losing to LSU, playing a solid game, and lost to Middle Tennessee, they've kind of had a cupcake schedule. You know, playing Central Connecticut, demolishing them, losing to Middle Tennessee in the Carrier Dome, and then defeating Central Michigan before LSU. I don't think this is a game to be taken lightly if you're NC State. Syracuse is coming in as 12.5-point underdogs, but I think this is going to be a higher scoring affair than people mentioned, though. A lot of offensive weapons for the Orange.
Yeah, and I definitely think that this game is going to tell us, almost, hear me out, almost as much as the Florida State win about whether or not this NC State football team has truly turned a corner as a program. Because we've seen it with football. We've seen it with basketball. Like you said, team coming off a big emotional upset win comes up flat. I mean, I go back to the men's basketball game. I think it was 2-3 years ago, the team coming off one of its best performances ever, a win at UNC Chapel Hill on the road.
Yeah, the lowest point total for UNC since like since early 2000s.
Goes into Boston College after that and gets demolished. So really, I think this team has talked a lot about their 24-hour rule this year, which is that they have 24 hours to either revel in a win or, you know, pity themselves after a loss, and then they move on. You move on to the next one, and I think that's going to be important, and that's going to tell us a lot. And if NC State can come out strong against Syracuse, avoid that, you know, quote-unquote letdown game, just come out and play their football, what you're going to need to do, because like you said, the strength of Syracuse is that explosive offense that they've got.
Yeah, and you know, I think it really starts at quarterback Eric Dungy looking great this year. He's fifth in the ACC in completion percentage. That's what Corey just mentioned before we left. But yeah, I mean, a solid quarterback right there, 63% completion percentage on the season, but a guy that you definitely need to watch if you're NC State, and is senior wide receiver Steve Ishmael. And, you know, while we love to talk about Jalen Samuels and how you said it's kind of blasphemous to not mention him at least 10 times on a First and Tech episode, Jalen Samuels is second in the ACC with 38 catches, and who's first? None other than Ishmael with 45. He just had 11 catches for 123 yards and a touchdown against the LSU Tigers, and he hasn't had a game this year under 100 yards receiving and has only had one game without 10 catches. So that's pretty incredible, to say the least, especially when you're Syracuse and you're not necessarily a stalwart in the ACC, but yeah, definitely someone you've got to circle if you're in the NC State secondary.
Yeah, well, as Corey mentioned too, especially if Mike Stevens can't go, the biggest thing for this one is going to be for the defensive line to bring what it brought against Florida State, really get in that backfield, pressure Dungy, make him uncomfortable, not let him get set to make those throws. I think, once again, the pass rush is going to be the number one key to victory for NC State, as it's going to be a lot this year with a shaky secondary. So with all that being said in mind, Nick, your prediction for this one?
Well, I think this is going to be a higher scoring affair than people think. The Orange do have the ACC linebacker of the week, senior linebacker Paris Bennett. I mean, 12 tackles, 3 for a loss, a safety, a pass breakup, and a quarterback hurry. I mean, he had a great outing, but that's really one of the few people I mention on that Syracuse defense. I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I think Ryan Finley could easily throw for 300 yards if that defensive line doesn't get after the quarterback. I think this is kind of similar to last season's matchup against Syracuse in the Carrier Dorm, where NC State won by 15 points. I think NC State covers the spread. I'm going to go NC State 41. Syracuse Orange 24.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. I think, like you said, with two kind of big play passing offenses coming into this one, this will be a high scoring game. But I really do think that this is a team that has turned the corner. I really think with the senior leadership, there's not going to be any issue with a letdown. They're just going to come out and play their game. I think it might be close to start out, but I think NC State will pull away as the game goes along. I like NC State 38, Syracuse 20.
I think bold prediction here, Carson Wise drills a 45-yard field goal. Bold, very bold prediction.
Well, I like it. I think I believe it was last year against Wake Forest, we saw Kyle Bambard drill his career high, which was, I believe, 45 or 47 yards. So, could happen.
Yeah, you never know, but I do think it's important for NC State moving forward, especially the following week against a big game on Thursday night right before fall break begins against the Louisville Cardinals. I think this is a game where they kind of fine-tune everything that they need to going into Louisville, maybe fix that little snap mishap we saw at the end of the game against Florida State, try and fix that blocked punt. A lot of other small things still to be fixed on special teams, but NC State, as Corey said, I think this is they're starting to put it together. They're starting to produce some complete games. And in my opinion, if they defeat Syracuse, which in my opinion is almost a lock this week, it's they can move up into the rankings. They will be in the top 25 if they win this game.
Yes, I agree, especially if they win, like we said, in convincing fashion. I think this is an exciting time for the NC State football program moving forward. This team has potential to do even more. And I think that is going to about wrap us up for this week. I'm your host, again, sports editor Andrew Schnitker.
And I'm your boy, Nick Sinopoli, assistant sports editor of Technician.
And thank you again for listening this week, guys. We will probably be coming out a little bit earlier next week. Our normal slot is Thursday, but with that Louisville game being on Thursday, we'll probably try to come out at least a couple days before, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, to get a little more time for that that Louisville preview. So we will see you guys again next week.